Thank you for joining Michon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Gimel, Mishnayot Yud Zayin through Yud Chet, Chapter 3, Mishnahs 17 and 18. Mishnah 17. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "In ein Torah, ein derech eretz. If there is no Torah, there is no, we'll translate it as way of the world." There's really two primary explanations for what derech eretz means. Either it refers to commerce. It refers to engaging in a secular financial world. Similarly, it could also refer to manners, right? How do you interact with people in a non-intellectual, regular environment? This is Derech Eretz. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, without Torah, there can be no midot, there can be no proper behavior. Im ein Derech Eretz, ein Torah. And if there's no proper midot, if there's no good behavior, there's no Torah. Or he could be saying that engaging in the regular world and your Torah study have to go together, so that if there's no Torah, there's no regular commerce, and if there's no regular commerce, there's no Torah. He continues, Im ein chokhmah, ein yirah. Im ein yirah, ein chokhmah. If there's no wisdom, there is no fear, and here he means fear of God. Im ein yirah, ein chokhmah. If there's no fear, then there can be no wisdom. And this is reflected in the famous pasuk from Mishlei, Reshit Chachma Yirat Adonai. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Im ein bina, ein dat. If there's no understanding, there's no knowledge. Im ein dat, ein bina. If there's no knowledge, there's no understanding. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. Im ein Torah, ein kemach. If there's no flour, if there's no physical sustenance, we can't have Torah. And if there's no Torah, there's no physical sustenance. This can be understood as a metaphysical claim, that there's something about Torah, about our keeping the Torah, that actually allows the natural world to work. And therefore it's true, im ein Torah, ein kemach. If there's no Torah, there's no way that the natural world will be able to produce the food that we need to live. Or we can look at it and read it very similarly to im ein derech eretz, ein Torah, that there's some connection between having a full, robust, secular, financial, physical life and Torah learning, that the two really have to go together. We continue. Hu haya omer, he would say, kol shechachmato miruba mima'asav, anyone whose wisdom is greater than their deeds, lemahu dome, to what is he similar? Le'ilan, to a tree, she'anafav mirubin v'shorashav mu'atin, where its branches are great and its roots are small. You have a top-heavy tree, v'haruach ba'a, and the wind comes, v'yokarto, and uproots it, v'ofachto al panav, and turns it over and it falls on its face. You need to have a strong root system in order to stand up if you're a tree. Similarly, you need to have a strong set of concrete actions that ground your wisdom. And he proves this principle from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Vav, v'haya ke'arar ba'arava, ve'lo yir'eh ki'avo tov, v'shachan charirim b'midbar, eretz melecha ve'lo teshev, which in the new JPS translation is, he shall be like a bush in the desert, which does not sense the coming of good. It is set in the scorched places of the wilderness, in a barren land without inhabitants. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chooses this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, that is one of the rare psukim in Tanakh, where trees are described not as being lush and being well supported by waters, but rather as being stuck in this kind of barren wasteland. It is trying to explain what is the type of tree, which often is associated with righteous people, tzaddik katamar, what is the type of tree that actually is in the desert,
that doesn't have what it needs. He says this is the person who seems righteous because they have a lot of wisdom, but actually aren't rooted, aren't grounded by their own deeds. He continues, Aval, kol shema asav merubin mechachmato, but anyone whose deeds are greater than their wisdom, lemahu domet, to what are they similar? Le'ilan she'anafav mu'atin, v'shorashav merubin, to a tree whose branches are few, but whose roots are many. She'afilu kol haruchot she'ba'olam, that even any wind that came, the strongest winds come, ba'ov v'noshvopo, they will come and blow at him, ein mizizot oto mimkomo, they do not move him from his place. She'ne'amar. And here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah quotes another pasuk from Yirmiyahu in the same chapter, contrasting to the previous tree, v'haya ke'et shatul al mayim, v'al yuval yishalach shorashav, v'lo yir'ak yavochom, v'haya alehu ra'anan, u'vishnat batzoret lo yid'ag, v'lo yamish me'asot peri. He shall be like a tree planted by waters, sending forth its roots by a stream. It does not sense the coming of heat. Its leaves are ever fresh. It has no care in a year of drought. It does not cease to yield fruit. And there's something very striking about Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah's equation of someone's actions with the roots of a tree, which are not visible to other people, and their wisdom to the branches and the leaves of a tree, which are visible to other people. He's pointing us to something deeper than what is visible. He's pointing to and he's critiquing a certain culture of wisdom where people pat themselves on the back for being smart. And they really pride themselves. They're showing off their feathers. They're showing off their leaves for their wisdom. And they're actually not paying attention to the things that are core. And what's core is the action. And in trying to draw our attention to this, he in some ways flips the metaphor and makes the invisible visible and the visible invisible. We continue with the last Mishnah, Mishnah Yurchet. Rabbi Elazar Chisma Omer. Rabbi Elazar Chisma says, Kinin ufitche nida, hein hein gufei halachot. Kinin, which literally means nests, but refers to the tractate that talks about different sacrifices of birds and what happens if you switch the blood of one sacrifice for another, and it's very complex, and there's a lot of charts and graphs to try to figure out the probability of this blood versus that blood, upitche nida, and also calculating the cycle for when a woman's menstrual patterns begin, also something very connected to blood and very connected to math, hein hein gufei halachot, these are the halachot themselves, tekufot vigimatriot, astronomy and astrology, right, trying to figure out exactly when the sun and the moon and how they interact with the earth, vigimatriot and geometry, these are parpraot lachochma. A parparet can be understood in two ways. One is that it's dessert, so therefore it's not something critical, it's a snack. And the other way to read it is that it's a palate cleanser. It's necessary, it's a preparatory phase to the actual meal. And Rabbi Lazar Chisma is probably saying in this Mishnah that there are certain types of halachot that involve a lot of math, that involve a lot of science, that involve a lot of calculation. He doesn't want you to confuse halachot that involve math with math itself, but he wants you to know that in order to really be able to fully immerse yourself, really get into the meal of kinin and pirchei nida, you might have to do a lot of study of tekufot, of astronomy, and of geometry. And in that way, it can be seen as being really essential in preparing you to understand these complex halachot. In Mishnah Yud Zayin, in Mishnah 17, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave us a number of pairs of things that cannot be separated. You You cannot separate Torah from Derech Eretz. You cannot separate Bina from Da'at. And he also says that you cannot separate Chochma and Yira, that you cannot separate understanding, wisdom, from the fear of God. And the connection between wisdom and fear of God is one that's discussed throughout rabbinic literature. And I'd like to draw your attention to a statement of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, which appears in Masechet Shabbat on Daf Lamed Aleph on page 31. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Torah Ve'ein Bo Yirat Shamayim. Any person that has Torah but doesn't have the fear of heaven, Domeh Legazbar, is similar to a treasurer. Shemasru Lo Maftechot HaPnimiyot, they gave him the inner keys. Umaftechot HaChitzonot Lo Masru Lo, and they did not give him the keys to the outer gate. And Rabba Bar Rav Huna is speaking about the relationship between study of Torah and fear of heaven. And he's saying, you need to have fear of heaven in order to get anywhere in your Torah study. Fear of heaven is the outer gate that protects the treasure of Torah, which is on the inside. If you try to use the study of Torah as a shortcut, if you try to study Torah first, actually what you have are the inner keys, but you don't have the outer keys. And it's useless for you to use your wisdom. Your wisdom is never going to actually serve you because you haven't done the preparatory stages. You haven't worked on your Yirat Shamayim. And what Rabba Bar Rav Huna seems to be pushing us towards is understanding that studying Torah in a vacuum can become about us, can become about how smart we are, how great we are, how interesting we are. And the more it becomes about us, the farther we'll get from God. And the point of Talmud Torah, which is to make us into better people, to make us into more religious people, to make us into more connected people, will end up being defeated if we don't constantly have the awareness, the mindset of Yirat Shamayim, that we're doing this for a purpose, that we understand our role, we understand where we belong. Rabba Bar Rav Huna's statement is coupled with a proclamation that Rabbi Yanai makes. Chaval al delet le darta, woe unto the person that doesn't have a house, vitara le darta avid, and makes a gate for his house. At first glance, it seems that Rabbi Yanai is seconding Rabba Bar Rav Huna's statement and saying, you can't jump the gun. Why would you build a gate without having the house? And if he is following Rabba Bar Rav Huna's scheme, the most important thing is the house, which is Yirat Shamayim, and the thing that protects it, the thing that comes next, is Talmud Torah. But if you were to build the scene of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Talmud Torah is in the inside, and Yirat Shamayim is on the outside. Talmud Torah are the inner keys, and Yirat Shamayim are the outer keys. But when you build the world according to Rabbi Yanai, when you build the world according to Rabbi Yanai, you have Yirat Shamayim being the house and Talmud Torah being the fence around the house, which places Yirah in the middle and Talmud Torah on the outside. So how could it be that both Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rabbi Yanai are talking about the same thing if the way that they're constructing the world is different? Rabba Bar Rav Huna seems to be putting Talmud Torah in the middle with Yirat Shamayim around it to protect it. And Rabbi Yanai is putting Yirat Shamayim in the middle with Talmud Torah, the secondary thing, the fence that you built for your house, coming around it. And I think that it's actually really important that we look at these two statements as a pair. It's not that Rabbi Yanai is agreeing with Rabba Bar Rav Huna. It's that Rabbi Yanai is disagreeing with Rabba Bar Rav Huna and saying, wait a minute. You, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, said it's impossible for my Talmud Torah to be successful without Yirat Shamayim.
It's impossible for my Torah study, for my work on myself, for my advancing in my spiritual life, to get off the ground without fear of heaven, without an understanding of God, without understanding of my place in the world. And Rabbi Yannai says, wait, how in the heck am I supposed to get a concrete grip on Yirat Shamayim if I don't have the basics of Talmud Torah? Who and what is going to teach me about what my role is in the world? Who is going to teach me about what God is, about what my responsibility is towards God? How could I possibly study Torah? How could I possibly get to the place of Yirat Shamayim if I don't have the fundamentals of Talmud Torah? And when you take Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and Rabbi Yannai together, what you have is exactly what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah put it both ways. If there's no chachma, there's no yira. If you don't have wisdom, you can't have fear. And if you don't have yira, you don't have wisdom. And what you have, when you put Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and Rabbi Yannai together, when you have the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what you construct is a kind of spiritual, intellectual Mobius strip, where you start with Yira and you realize that you need the Yira to take you to Talmud Torah. And then when you get to Enmesh in Talmud Torah, you realize you need to be brought back to Yira. And then you go back and forth and back and forth. And the more you progress on your track of Yirat Shamayim, the more you grow in focusing on the relationship side, the more you realize you need to ground it in the intellect. You need to ground it in responsibility. And the more you grow in intellect, the more you grow in sophistication, you realize you need to go back and focus on the basics. And this Mobius strip might remind you of another famous machloket. What's more important, the study of Torah or the doing of deeds, performing of mitzvot? And the answer is, well, studying Torah is more important, because studying Torah leads you to do good deeds. Well, if the whole point of studying Torah is that it leads you to do good deeds, doesn't that mean that doing good deeds is more important? And we end up again in this Mobius strip. As soon as you find yourself focusing too much on doing the deeds, you realize you need to take a step back. You need to study a little bit of Torah to recenter yourself and figure out exactly why. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's focus on dynamism and this Mobius strip that takes you from one pole to the other and then back to the original pole also teaches us something extremely important about spiritual progress. Sometimes we feel like we're going in one direction and the pendulum swings back, and we feel like we're just back where we started. And maybe we haven't made any progress at all because the patterns that we're in seem to be familiar. And what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is teaching us is that we need to have those patterns, that the patterns are the impression of the motion of constantly moving from one thing to the other, back and forth and back again. And what spiritual progress is constantly retracing your steps and making sure that you're keeping things in balance. There's no fixed point at which you're done. There's no fixed point at which you really can see that you've made progress. Progress is constantly moving, constantly checking yourself, constantly making sure that you haven't swung too far in one direction and have forgotten where you came from. Next week's Mishnayot are Perek Dalet, Mishnayot Aleph through Gimel, Chapter 4, Mishnayot 1 through 3.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.